And I got a word, and I feel like it's pressing. I'm not. This time, I promise. I promise. I'm not gonna be before you long. I think. But if you could turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Again, I'm so grateful for our pastor in his absence to calling on me. Can we put our hands together for our pastor, Pastor Edwin Jones, and leading lady Ariel, if you're watching. Y'all enjoy y'all vacation. I always give an honor to honoring my God, and also to my family, to my beautiful children, who some are in here and then some are helping out in B Kids. I love you guys. And to my beautiful wife, Samantha Battle, who walks with me and always encourages me and tells me what to do. Amen. And to my mother in love, she's here, she stopped in, thank you, I appreciate you, come celebrate. She's holding our baby. So let's get to it. If you haven't, say I've got it. Good, that's pretty much all of us. Y'all better, no, never mind. Here it is, it reads like this. It says, he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. He said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not bring us into temptation. He also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from inside and say, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. Why are you knocking at the door at midnight anyway? I just don't understand. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, somebody say boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Verse 9 said it this way. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Just for the moment of the preaching time, I just want to preach from this Fresh Start sermon series. Ask, all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. As you're going to your seat, look at the person next to you and tell them, all you got to do is ask. Father, pray with me. Y'all pray with me. Father, I thank you. God, I honor you. Decrease all of me and increase all of you, so you people see none of me but all of you. Father, forgive me of anything. I'm asking you to forgive me of anything that I've done that have not been right by you. Allow me to stand behind the sacred desk to preach, teach, and declare your sacred and your holy word. We ask you, God, to give an experience that we've never had before. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody who loves God, come on and shout amen. Shout it one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. All you have to do is ask. I love my kids dearly. Y'all, I do. I love my babies. But sometimes they say some things that always have my wife and I questioning our parenting skills. Take, for instance, like some of our kids like to ask questions they already know the answer to. I've been telling my kids that we're going to water country all week long. Been making sure they understood that we're going to water country right after church on Sunday. But one gonna sit at the table last. Dad, there it is. What we doing after church tomorrow? So again, just to respond, I said we're going to water country. And then one of my pet peeves now is my kids, when they come, my beautiful kids, the gorgeous children, they come to my wife and I, and they come with a statement, and they say that they thirsty or they're hungry. And I usually respond by saying, that's a statement, not a question. But my wife, she takes it a little higher. She goes another step. She takes it up another notch. And it tickles me. She states, well, hello, thirsty. Well, oh, hello, hungry. It's nice to meet you. My name is Samantha. It tickles me every time I laugh. See, my children have a problem or an issue or a condition that needs to be addressed. The problem or the issue for my children is that they're, or the condition is that they're hungry and or thirsty. So instead of asking for what they want, they make a statement of what their current condition is. Instead of asking for what they suggested they want, they make a statement of how they feel. And honestly, for the most part, their statement is a correct statement because it's exactly how they feel. They're hungry and they're thirsty. And they know exactly who to go to that will help them address their current situation. But the problem is, they didn't ask for what they wanted. So as their father, I don't move on their behalf until they ask me for what they want. And to be honest, many of us have been coming all month long to this Fresh Start series, hearing about how a fresh start belongs to me, that the fresh start that we can grab hold to, that the fresh start that's tangible for us to grab and for us to walk into the new season. But the question I have for all of us this morning, have you asked the Father for what you wanted? Some of us have said, I'm all in this time. I'm ready for my fresh start. But have you and I asked the Father for this fresh start? Have you and I gotten the permission that we need to move forward into our new season? Someone look at your neighbor and say, all I have to do is ask. It's our text today that, according to Luke 11, that's tailored to teach us on how to pray. If you're reading it today, it's tailored for you and I to figure out how to pray. Because Jesus comes from a certain place praying, and when he finishes, his disciples make a statement. Lord, teach us how to pray. The Lord begins to teach them how to pray by saying, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Y'all, this is key for us this morning, because in order for us to begin this fresh start, going into the next season and walking into our fresh start, this ain't deep, we gotta pray. We have to open up our lines of communication with the Father. We have to purposely set time aside to make talking with God a priority. And that's why every January and every August, we set time aside as a church for 21 days of prayer and fasting, because there's some months up ahead that will get crazy, but we need God's permission to move forward in our next season. And many of us struggle with this concept simply because our schedule doesn't allow it. We are busy. We are overwhelmed with the day-to-day activities. Our routine is consistent every day. Or, matter of fact, some of us may not even know how to pray. Or better yet, maybe for some of us in here this morning, we are not comfortable with praying just yet. And this is why I love Jesus, because he makes it simple for us today. So y'all already know where I'm going. After he teaches his disciples on what to say, he then says in verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you." All you got to do is ask. And let me say this. As the disciples were watching Jesus pray coming from the certain place, they were watching him how to pray. And I want to be able to free somebody today. Praying doesn't mean you got to pray like the pastor. Praying doesn't mean you got to pray like the Sanhedrin back in the day or the Roman council. No, all you got to do is be able to get in a position to set up a prayer time for you and Jesus to have one-on-one so you can have conversation with him. It don't need to be deep. And Jesus said that today. All you got to do is what? Ask. And many of us may have issues with this concept because of what position asking puts us in. Let's be transparent. To ask somebody or someone to help me with something that I'm struggling with puts me in a place where I realize I can't get out of it on my own strength or get it with my own strength. Asking somebody to do something for me is like pulling teeth. Because in my natural mind, I know I can do it, but at the end of the day, the problem is still there. And oftentimes, many of us are in this predicament of asking because of fear. Fear that if I go and ask someone for something that I want or need, that the answer may be no. Have you ever been there? When you've asked somebody, here's my pet peeve, here's my vent. I didn't give this to the first service. Because you all, have you ever been there? You always with your hand and you always making sure somebody is taken care of, but when is your turn? And you go to ask. It's never returned. That's just me venting. And some of us in here have been told no over and over again. Growing up, I had a fear of rejection. Rejection for some of us makes us keep our mouths closed because we don't like to be rejected. Growing up, I'm telling you today, I'm gonna be real transparent this morning for my life. Growing up, I had a problem of rejection because of when my father left my mother and I, it wasn't a part of my life. I had a fear of rejection because when somebody nice and my mom loved would try to come into my life, I didn't open up as much because I had a fear that that same man that came in my life is going to leave me just like my daddy did. Rejection. So I don't ask for him to do anything for me because at the end of the day, my fear is if I get too close, he's going to what? Leave me. But Jesus tells his disciples, all you have to do is ask and it will be given to you. Mark 11:24 says it this way. Therefore, I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Y'all, this reminds me of the old adage in the saying, closed mouths don't get fed. Y'all, at the end of the day, if you don't ask, you're not going to get fed. And for the life of me growing up, I really couldn't really understand what my mama was trying to tell me. But all she was saying was, ask up, speak for yourself. Because if you don't, nobody can fulfill your destiny or the need that you're asking for. And here's what asking does for us. Y'all, asking unlocks a father and child relationship when you're going to the Father. Oftentimes, and here it is, an advertisement, you and God, you and Jesus aren't on the same level. God is our Father. He is our daddy. So asking literally unlocks a father and child relationship. It puts us in the right position to understand. It moves me from independence to me depending on the Father. I know in my ability, I can't. So in my ability, I got to make sure I know that at the end of the day, I got to go to the one who can. And oftentimes, we don't go asking the Father. Sometimes in our prayers, we go demanding. Now, all of you, some of us in here, some probably got good relationships with your fathers. I wish my kids would come demanding me for something. Because at the end of the day, there should be some honor. There should be some honor at the fact that this is the one who created me. This is the one who placed me. This is the one who gave me what I have. I got to be able to go to him and ask him because he's the only one who can open and unlock some things and some secrets and some revelation and some clarity that God wants to give me. Asking creates an atmosphere of humbleness. Oftentimes, reality check sits in when pride gets in the way. Pride doesn't mean I'm walking around boastful. That's not always what pride is. Pride is not opening up your mouth enough to be able to ask because of just how you feel. That's my pride. I'm going to shut down. I'm prideful enough to know if I ask, then I'm opening up some stuff that nobody else needs to know. Asking leads to seeking. Seeking helps you find who you are looking for, or better yet, what you are looking for. As I'm asking, now what I'm doing, I'm getting myself in position to seek after the Father at a new level. My asking hits me to a place where I understand if I seek him, not look for him, but if I seek him, guess what I'll do? I'll find him. Scripture says, our God looks high, sits high, and looks low, and he's searching for those who seek after him. Maybe for some of us sitting in here today, the reason why we can't find him is because we're not in a position to seek after him. Notice what the Bible says. He's looking for seekers. And maybe we can't hear him clearly. Maybe we haven't found him in our situation. Maybe we're still dealing with the addiction. Maybe we're still dealing with the issues in our marriage. Maybe we are still dealing with some of the things that's going on in my mind. It's simply because I haven't sought after him. Because the Bible says what? If I seek him, I'll find him. And the reason why you find him is because he's looking for you. I need you to unlock that right there. I need you to get it. All you and I got to do is begin to seek. And guess what he'll do? He'll find you. Seeking brings intimacy with the Father. There's nothing like being intimate with God. There's nothing like being intimate. That means, listen, that means that look, when I'm intimate with somebody, that means he can tell me some secrets that I don't even know. Like God, what can I tell you? That God wants to unlock some secrets. He wants to whisper in your ear and tell you some secrets that nobody else knows. There's something that God wants to pour. There's something that God wants to give. There's something that God wants to speak to you. Because he wants to be intimate with you. But the reason why I can't get it is because I'm not in a posture of seeking after him. Seeking unlocks secrets. Bars. Write that down. There's some unlocked, some untapped potential that's within all of us. But you and I can't get to it or be able to get out of potential if we're not going to him, asking and seeking, because potential is just what it is. It's going to be a ball if you don't ask God to get it out of you and move it so you can what? Find him. Seeking shows submission and helps us to actively listen. If my people who are called by my name turn from their wicked ways, seek me. He says, if you humble yourself, that's when I'll hear from the what? The land. That's when God says, I'll heal the land. Our seeking unlocks our submission so we can actively listen to him. And when we begin to seek, seeking leads to knocking, knocking at the door. That means I am approaching the door, a door that many people can't get to because they're not seeking after him. Knocking gets us access to what's on the other side of the door. Knocking gets the attention of the door. Y'all know who the door is? Jesus. John 10:9 says, I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. Then the King James says, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Y'all, when we ask and when we seek, we begin to knock and approach the door. And when we get to the door opens up and there's something better on the other side. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but there's something better for you on the other side. So when you're lost, what Jesus will do, he'll leave the 99 and go find that one. And there's something better for you on the other side. So many of us have been walking alongside on this side, but Jesus says, I need you to ask. Jesus says, I need you to seek, because when you get to me, the new knock and the door shall be open, and green pastures will belong to you. So what does that mean to you? On the other side, there is peace. What does that mean to you? On the other side, there is joy. What does that mean to you? On the other side, there is love. Who am I preaching to that understands on the other side, there is something special for you? Addictions turn into greatness. Who am I preaching to that can understand if you get close to the door, there is something for you on the other side? Your current situation doesn't have to be today. There's something for you. There's something far greater for you on the other side. And I don't know who this is for, but God says there's something on the other side. I got something there for you. I'm a good, good father. I got some gifts for you waiting for you. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is seek. All you got to do is knock and ask, and I'll make sure I'll give it to you. Y'all, so the question now becomes, how do I ask? Preacher, what you're saying is all well and good, but what am I asking? How do I ask? Number one, this is how you ask. Say, be specific. Be specific. Y'all know, I used to have trouble with that word. Y'all ever, when you're trying to say it and say Pacific? Oh, I ain't the only one? Okay, cool. Cool. So, y'all, in this text, The Bible says Jesus leaves a certain place after Jesus leaves a certain place from praying. He leaves a certain place. In every translation, whether it's the Message Bible, whether it's the King James Version, whether it's the Christian Standard Bible, whether it's the NIV, it says the same thing. A certain place, praying. That means this place is the same place. Every time Jesus needs to go talk to the Father, he goes to this place to have a conversation. So what does that mean for me? Y'all, in order to hear God clearly, you and I got to have a certain place to go to hear the Father. There's a certain place, a specific place that you and I have to create so I know exactly he's going to meet me there and I'm going to meet him there. God says there's a place I want you to create so you can hear me, so you can get a very clear understanding of what I'm trying to do for you in this season. And your place can be in the shower, right? In the shower while you're washing your body. Your place can be on the way to work with that music turned down, and it's just you and him. But it has to be a certain place because God is expecting you to show up to the certain place. Just like all of us who have jobs, you're expected to show up at a certain time, at a certain place, for a certain reason. And that's specific because there's nobody else who's going to clock in and take your place. And can I challenge somebody today? You and I need a certain place to clock into so we can hear what God is trying to tell us in this season. And y'all, your certain place don't have to be like the war room. Who's seen that movie? Raise your hand. Come on, you can be honest, the war room. And that secret place was decked out. But your secret place doesn't have to be that secret place. You know what your secret place needs to look like. Huh? And if you don't believe me, here it is. Here it is. It says Matthew 6 and 6. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The Lord says, in this season, you and I got to hear clearly. And I'm not sure who this is for because there's so much going on in the world today. We see what's going on in Hawaii. We see what's going on in our own neighborhoods. Young men still getting gunned down. Marriages are losing their luster. Schools are still being targets. But if you and I aren't going to a certain place for a specific reason, you and I are going to miss what God is trying to tell you in this season. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but at the end of the day, just like here, you came here to a certain place here at 11 o'clock this morning. You came here for 11 o'clock to hear what God has to say. And our problem is the only time we come hear what God has to say is Sunday morning. But God talks on Monday morning. God talks on Tuesday morning. God talks on Wednesday all day long. He talks every day. And God says, that's what I want from you. The way you talk to your best friend every day, I want to be your best friend. Because God says, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Who am I preaching to that understands that I got to have a certain place? I got to have a specific time to go to the Lord. Y'all, and then number two. Somebody say, be intentional. And here, once he comes out of a certain place, the disciples ask him, teach us how to pray. And he goes and says, this is what you shall say. And he says, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. When Jesus tells them what to say, Jesus reminds them, you have to be intentional in your prayer. And I'm going to share my story in a minute, but you have to be intentional. Number one, you have to understand who you're going to in prayer. and understand who he is. He is your father. And if he's your father deserves honor every time you're walking in to this place to hear what he has to say. But in there, he talks about that kingdom come, that your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is very intentional about what he's asking for. He's asking for his word. He's asking for God to forgive sins. He's asking that those who sinned against them, that you forgive. Like, Father, please do not lead us into temptation. He's very intentional. Y'all, growing up, I didn't live in a house that was prayer with a prayer culture. I didn't have that. So, you know, I don't know if you've been around, you hear preachers always say, I had a praying grandmother. I didn't have that. I didn't have a praying grandmother. So I didn't know much about what praying was. And then in this time of fasting and praying, one of the things the Lord says, the reason why some of those generational curses fell down to you, or some of those things in your bloodline didn't stop, it's because those who were before you didn't ask or wasn't intentional for it to stop. And I want to share that with you today. See, in your prayer time, we gotta be intentional today. There's a situation or some stuff going on in your family. There's some stuff going on in your life that you and I really got to be intentional in asking God to do so it can stop, so it won't carry over into the next generation. See, it can start right now, but you and I got to be intentional. It's the reason why for some of us, some things in your bloodline still happening. Divorce is still happening because it's in the bloodline. Debt is still happening because it's in the bloodline. It's psyche things and some mental issues going on in our bloodline. It's because for some apparent reason, no one has asked and been intentional to ask God to stop it. So today, and I don't know who this is for, I'm prophesying today in somebody's life that it stops today. God, we're asking. So God, we're asking today, we're being intentional today, that what's going on in our lives right now, we're asking the generational curses to stop. We're asking for debt to be erased. We're asking, God, for addictions to leave us alone. God, we're asking for peace, unsurmountable peace, to walk into our lives. Who am I preaching to that has to understand, I got to ask God, I got to be intentional for some stuff to stop. Intentional. Philippians 4:6 says it this way: be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. Y'all, we got to be intentional with this thing, because I'm a believer that destiny is upon you, that God has legacy written all over you, that there's some things that God wants to do with you, but there's some stuff that you got to go to God and ask God to move. And here it is. I'm a believer, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, y'all know how big a mustard seed is? The Bible says it's probably about this small, it's probably even smaller than that. But if you have faith this size, this much, the Bible says the mountain shall move. All you got to do is have this much faith. All you got to do is have this much faith and the mountain shall move, and you believe God is going to do it. And I don't know what mountain is in your life, and I don't know what valley that you're in. I don't know what situation that you're dealing with. But today, by faith, I believe God is getting ready to move it. I believe God is getting ready to get you out of the valley. I believe it, because today we are going to be intentional. Is there anybody with me today that's really going to be intentional this morning? I need some people who don't mind and say, I'm going to be intentional with my prayers. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to talk to my daddy, because I know I can't do it by myself. Because if I could do it by myself, I'd have been out of that situation a long time ago. But I know it's not by my might, but by my might, says the Lord. Who am I preaching to that understands I got to be intentional? Gotta be intentional. Gotta be. And I told myself growing up that I wasn't going to be like my dad. Because even if something happens between whoever I married, I'm going to make sure I stay in my kid's life. I told myself, and I prayed that. And that's the difference from when I was a child, because I didn't have prayer growing up, but I changed that thing around. I began to ask God and began to be intentional. And even though through a divorce, God still restored, and I got a chance to God and got remarried. And now I have 6 kids, and I don't know who I'm preaching to. But at the end of the day, if you be intentional, God is going to restore. God is going to refresh. God will give you promise after promise. If you're intentional and you specific, God is going to bless your mind like never before. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but there's some stuff on your mind that you got to get off today. I dare you to begin in the middle of this service to open up your mouth and begin to ask God to help you. Ask God to shake it off. Ask God to get it out your mental. Ask God to shake it out of your mind. Because at the end of the day, God is the only one who can do it. Be intentional. Be intentional. And then here it is, number 3. Be bold. Everybody say be bold. Be bold. I say it this way, have audacity. Woo. Have audacity. Be bold. Scripture says in Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. Be bold. Be bold. Have some audacity. If you notice in the text, the friend went to the house at midnight. Number one, that's some audacity. Come on, speak to me. That's some audacity. He spoke and he went, not for him, but on the behalf of somebody else. That's some audacity. He went to a friend's because he knew, number one, his friend was going to help him. And the friend was like, I don't care who you are outside. Me and my kids are in the bed asleep, and I'm not getting to the door. But that didn't stop the man from knocking. And because that didn't stop the man from knocking, he had some audacity. Even though I got to know, even though I was rejected, that didn't stop me from keeping asking. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you might have got to know. You might have been overlooked. You might have been downcast. You might have been outcast. And I don't know who it was in your past life, but somebody didn't pick you. You weren't the one that get picked from everybody else. You weren't part of the in crowd. Somebody, you weren't part of the clique, and they didn't pick you. But I got somebody in Jesus who knows he's going to pick you today. He says you could be a part of my clique. You could be part of the Holy Spirit. You could be part of our God. You could be part of what Jesus is doing in our life. God says I pick you because at the end of the day, you're my child. You don't need anybody else to do exactly what I've called you to do. You are my baby. I created you out of the womb, and I knew exactly what I was doing when your mama and your daddy got together. You're not a mistake. You were supposed to be here. So at the end of the day, you got to have that audacity. And for some of you, the secrets haven't been unlocked because you stopped asking. We stop having the boldness. And for some of us, the reason why is because we're still in our shameful position because of some of the stuff we've done. And the reason why I haven't gone and asked is because I'm still dealing with some guilt. And I don't think God wants to hear from me. But can I tell you the devil is a lie? Can I tell you the devil is a lie? My Lord wants to hear from you. It almost reminds me about the blind man that Jesus was walking along, and the blind man got his attention, and Jesus asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? And Jesus already knew the man was blind, but he made the man speak up. He made the man answer. And the man says, I want to see. Is there anybody in here who want to see today? God says, all you got to do is tell me what you want. Come on, tell me what you want, and I give you what you need. I don't know who I'm preaching to. You got to have the audacity. I know you did some things and you're not pleased about, but God says still have the audacity. I know some things that you did in the past and people are still trying to talk about it. I don't care, the Lord says. Still have the audacity. I don't care what they say. I don't care what he says. Matter of fact, I don't even care what you say. What matters is what I say. And what I say is that you are a child child of God, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, that you are a priest, that you are a priest with somebody with God's name on it. You're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. Nothing can stand against you because you got a God who is for you. Who am I preaching to that understands if it had not been for God, that I don't know where I would be, but I thank God. You gotta have audacity. I don't care what your mind is trying to tell you. I don't care what the enemy is trying to do and trying to sneak up into that mind. I don't care what the enemy says. The enemy doesn't have power over your life. The only reason he gives power is because we give it to him. But you got a God in Jesus that says, I don't care how you may feel and thinking right now, I want the Spirit of the living God to dwell in you so much that regardless of what's going on, you'll take that thought and you make it captive and you put it in the air and you punt it out of the way. Who am I preaching to that understands I gotta have the audacity? Audacity. And it kind of reminds me of my living in Lord and Savior. He had some audacity. Audacity. He did something nobody else would do. He died for me and for you. He had audacity to the point where he even asked God, hold on, wait a minute. He went to a certain place in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, wait a minute, God. I know what you're saying, but if at some reason, some minor, small addendum, is it possible that this cup will pass from me? Come on. He asks. But the Lord, then he goes and says, but your will shall be done. And here's what it does. It takes, regardless of what Jesus had to go through, it took off his independence. He removed his independence and he gave his dependency on God. And so he knew without a shadow of a doubt the whipping he was getting ready to go through. He knew without a shadow of a doubt the back, the stabbing and the talked about what was getting ready to go, he was getting ready to go through. He couldn't do it on his own. The ripping of the clothes, he knew what he was getting ready to go through. He couldn't do it on his own. The people turning their backs on him saying, I don't know who that is. He knew exactly what he was getting ready to go through and he understood he couldn't do it on his own power. So he gave up his power and gave it to the Father. And when he gave his power to the Father, then what happened was he was able to put a cross on his back and walk a long road with the sins of the world upon his back. And when he walked that road with nobody helping him, all he was probably praying and saying, this is for the sins of the world. This is for my baby that's on the way. This is for my children. He can whipped by every side. This is for my daughter so she can sing. This is for my son so he can have a baby boy. I don't know who am I preaching to, but God says you got to have the audacity. And when he went to the cross and they nailed the thorns in his side and they put the thorns in his hands, he gave up the ghost. And when he gave up the ghost, he did it because he realized he couldn't do it in his own strength. Jesus had the audacity to give up his life and put it in God's hands. And what happens when you have the audacity to not trust in your own understanding and lean on the Lord's understanding? You get up with all power. You get up with all power. You get up with all power in your hands. And guess what happens? You get life and life more abundantly. Who am I preaching to that understands if I have the audacity, Jesus will give me life. And he'll give me life, life more abundantly. Who's ready to walk in your abundance? Who has the audacity to say, if it had not been? Y'all, but it all starts with having to ask. You gotta ask. You gotta open up your mouth. One of the enemy's tricks is to keep you silent. One of the enemy's tricks says, if I just keep them silent, man, if I just let them believe not enough in themselves and understand that they don't have value or they're not worth, if they just be quiet, then the things that God has for them not going to happen. That's for somebody right there. In order for God to unlock some things, y'all got to open up your mouth. We got to begin to open up our mouth. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, that God is getting ready to give you everything that you ask for in this fresh start. This is the season that fresh start happens for you. But all you got to do is ask. And when you ask, you begin to seek. And when you seek, you approach the door. And remember, when that door opens, there's something on the other side waiting for you, because you're going to walk into your purpose. You're going to walk into your glory. Come on, let's stand all over our feet. Come on, let's give God some praise. Come on. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Give God some praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, let's give God some praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's give God some praise. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. God is looking for seekers in this season. Seekers. He's looking for people who need him. You and I never want to get to the part or point in life where you feel like you don't need the Lord. There should be always a dependency on Jesus, because he's a good, good father. And again, this message may not have been for all, but it was for somebody. And before we leave out of here today, there's some things you've been asking God for, or there's some things you haven't asked God for, and you need to begin to ask God for it right now. The altar is open for you this morning. This is not for your person next to you. It's for you. No one's going to be here to judge. It's for you. The altar is open for you this morning. If today I want to go to God this morning, I don't want to leave out of here without asking him for what I need in this season. You don't have to wait for somebody else to move. If this is what you need in this season, come get exactly what you need this morning. Fresh start. This is where it begins, right here. Some of you are going to wait till you get home, and that's fine. But I'm a believer, when two or three come together in agreement, there it is. God is in the middle of it. I'm a believer that God is in the midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. And as you're watching and as you're seeing those being poured out, won't you begin to pray for them? And it's not my prayer, this is your prayer. Come on, begin to open up your mouth. This is for you. You go asking. This is not for me. Come on, you go asking. Come on, get out of the uncomfortability. Come on, be comfortable with the Father this morning. to them, go to them, go to them, go to them. And as they're praying, as the word has gone out, and you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, and you came in today for that purpose, where if you need Jesus to be your Savior and your King in your life, this is the moment you do it with every eye closed. If this is you, just lift up your hands. Lift up your hand if you want Jesus to come into your life. If you need him to change your life, if you're looking for a fresh start, just raise your hand. If you need salvation today, if you're looking for God to save you, this is the moment. And that's you. Just repeat after me. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you, God, for coming to get me from the places that I've been. I'm asking you, God, to give me salvation. I'm asking, God, because of your death and resurrection, that righteousness, God, belongs to me. So today, Father, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for this fresh start. I thank you for what's to come, and I thank you for what's on the other side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all continue to pray. Be praying. Come on. Come on. Pray. Pray. Get your breakthrough. Breakthrough. Breakthrough's coming. Breakthrough's coming. Father, here we are asking you in the name of Jesus for those that got up out of their seat, that came to this altar. God, I'm asking that because they press their way, that their situation shall change immediately. That God, whatever's going on right now in the name of Jesus, that you'll turn it around right now in the name of Jesus. Whether it's financials, God, I pray that I'm asking that you, God, remove what's stopping it and blocking it, and that, God, that the resources shall fall from heaven. I'm praying whether it's marriage, lack of intimacy, I'm praying that, God, I'm asking that you get inside of it, that you move like never before. God, I'm praying whether they're dealing with some mental health issues, some tricks of the enemy that's trying to come into the mind, I speak against it right now in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking against anything that's trying to stop them from giving you full commitment. God, and I believe at the end of the day that, God, you're going to honor this prayer, that, God, their lives have changed, that refreshing shall happen, that fresh start shall take place. When they leave here, they shall be renewed. In Jesus' name we pray. If you believe that, come on and put your hands together. Come on, give God the best praise that you can.